fire up 13. Flight controllers, listen up. Give me a go, no go for launch. Public nudity.
Go.
Illegal narcotics.
Go.
Dog shagging.
We'll go fly.
Bubbler.
Bubblers go.
Poo in the chute.
Go flight.
Road rage.
Go flight.
Roid rage.
Where to go.
Brown paper bags.
Go.
Eclipse containers.
Go.
Chinese restaurants.
Go flight.
Peanut butter photography.
Go.
Billy Idol. Billy Idol. Billy Idol.
Just wait for some power.
Breezers.
Where I go.
Phantom biters.
Lighters go.
Fingers and dates.
Where go flight.
Launch control. This is Fire Up 30. We are go for launch.
Good morning, Chris. I can't hear you, Chris.
Good morning, Stephen.
I've been overtaken. There's a phenomenon, I'm sure you're aware of it, where whispering not only calms the soul, soothes the spirit, and generally spreads goodwill. Sometimes associated with a little rustle, a little noise.
A little bit of a breeze, perhaps.
Little tingles on the skin.
Yeah,
it's quite a sensational thing.
High sensation, and you're into it, are you?
Well, I have been caught up in it because we know about the coach whisperer.
Bradley Charles Stubbs.
Indeed. And Bradley's had an influence beyond Trent Robbo. It's now caught on to myself. And I believe you've been infected by this whispering.
Well, I'm...
Gentle whispering, Chris.
I'm certainly feeling the calmest I've ever felt in this studio, I'm generally in a state of high anxiety working with you, okay. So I feel a lot better, yes.
Now, scientifically, Chris, it's an autonomous sensory meridian response, in case you didn't know. But the bottom line is, it's just whispering on YouTube. And somehow... I've got a crisis of identity. I don't know how you can be fired up, Chris, and be a whisperer at the same time. I mean, at this point in time, I am fired up about Dylan Napper. He should be in jail. Am I wrong, HG?
Sorry, you got me off a bit there slightly. I don't know whether I should be whispering or, bellowing. No, I'll just
Help
me
out with my crisis of identity. How can I be a whisperer and fired up at the same time?
It's intensity. It's all to do with passion and intensity. You can whisper quietly, but be, fired up and have the slip pointing north and the trousers round the ankle at the same time and saluting and wearing a badge and being in Indonesia. Right. I mean, all that stuff.
It's all possible.
It's all possible.
I'm fired up that Matt Checkin's got to leave the joint.
Talk about your Mad Monday.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm fired up about many things. Cam Smith is now going round again the paddock next year. That's got me fired up.
But no, he hasn't come to terms with the club yet. Can you believe that? All that great work he's done for the Storms.
Oh, no, I don't have him on a very short leave contract-wise. maybe drop 500K out of it. Just it's a charity lap,
Well, and just make up with yet another testimonial for Cam, because he's already had about six as far as we can tell.
Matty Clark.
Yes.
The butcher from Frog Hollow. Yeah, the butcher. Well, he's got a couple of knives, hasn't he?
That's still enough, isn't it?
I imagine you're fired up sometimes. There's not a great lot of variety in the hairdos this year.
I must say, nothing fires me up more than a low talker, a whisperer. It gets my goat like nothing else.
If anybody wants to hear a good firm talker, go down to Barbary on Crown Street and just see... The barber from Frog Hollow. Sorry about that, not the butcher.
I don't know, the butcher might catch on.
Haven't seen my 9 o'clock work on a Saturday morning.
I'm pretty fired up at South thrashed West Tigers.
Thrashed?
Thrashed. 51 is a thrashing, Chris.
Can I just say, Stephen, we're already in rebuild mode for next year, but I just want to have a personal shout-out to Adam Reynolds. I know when I'm in front 50 points to 10, I like banging over a field goal just to rub it in.
He's a gentleman all the way, isn't he?
I was actually going to go against the grain and say, look, South Sydney like a great team of blokes and wish them all in the finals. I hope they powder!
Hey, look, while we're on the West Tigers, I got to say, they did win one award this year.
Yep.
The Haircut of the Year award.
Ah.
Goes to Mahathanua.
Yes,
I think I've got that right.
It's not really... I mean, he did say to his wife, babe, I'm going to get a mullet.
Yes.
Yeah,
look.
And his babe went, yeah.
It looks like his six-year-old son did it with the help of the neighbour's dog.
It isn't quite a mullet. It's something different. It's like Once the Warriors meets mullet, isn't it?
It's got a nice chewed look about it.
And, of course, what's our, ex-Scots boy moved to...
Yeah, Angus Crichton got the worst haircut.
Because
he got the Don Mattingly from The Simpsons. Yeah.
Didn't he? Is that short enough? Side lips? Is that short enough? Up it goes.
Do you give me
the office for those sort of cuts?
I don't take a lot of sideburns off to that extent.
Right. I'm fired up that Cronulla even exists, Chris. We'll talk about that
sure.
in this episode today. I'm actually fired up that I'm warming to Ricky Stewart.
Oh, no,
the
no,
most lovable
no,
man.
No,
Come
no,
on.
No, steady. Go back to whispering, for God's sake, before you get onto that. No, 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 no,
no, no, no, no. Why is that so, I ask myself?
You could sense the silence in the room when you raised that. I mean, come on, a lifetime. I mean, he's the game's greatest thinker, a.k.a. Sticky, a.k.a.
The Angry Ant,
a.k.a. Carlos Pearson. But you can't warm to him at this late. And they've got their centre of excellence being built down there. The $19 million centre of excellence.
How did that happen when Manly got nothing?
Look, the Tigers were on track to have their best ever defensive record for a season until last night.
Did you say defensive?
Yeah, that hurts me.
When did that come in, HG? Yeah. Wasn't it defensive? Then defensive.
D, big D. It's always been part of the game, big D.
It's part of the Americanization of rugby league. But how poetic is it that if everything pans out correctly in this final round, the team that scores the most tries in this season and the team that scores the most points yet finishes 10th? Is the Canberra Raiders.
Wow.
So there's no big D coming from Ricky right now, HG.
No, it wasn't us out there, remember? I don't know who it was. It certainly wasn't us. And, you know, the whole thing of his relationship with the, you know, the officialdom and, you know, refereeing and all that sort of stuff, we just need to look at that. And if he only whispered a little bit more, I think the game would be better off.
Or somebody whispered to him.
True. Mm. Shut up, Ricky. Shut up, Ricky.
And I think you pointed out that they lost all 20 games that they lost this year by 2 points or less, is that correct?
Yeah, 2 points or less, and there wasn't us out there.
And surely, HG, there's a delight to be taken in that.
Some sort of pleasure. By us.
By us.
Yeah, that's right. And the Centre of Excellence, as I mentioned that, $19 million down there on Northbourne Oval, just at the end of the train line they're putting
in there. You would have to say that Ricky's probably a pretty good lobbyist, and I'd say that a career in politics is on the cards if he sticks around long enough, because no one warms to Scott Morrison.
Not yet.
Well, hang on a minute. That was my highlight of the week. Did you see him there yesterday? You know, as soon as you get the top job, he strips down to his jumper. Sure, it was the wrong jumper, but be that as it may, he stood out in the crowd. As I was saying to Chris, a couple of handling errors there, but they can be corrected. The guy's got everything. And sure, it was a person of maybe 85 kilograms against people of the, you know, stature of, say, 25 kilograms. Yes, yes. But nonetheless, he could flatten them.
Yeah, he's one of us.
And then he turned up in Indonesia overnight, still wearing the jumper and the shorts. Joko Widodo just did not know where to look.
He handed it over, the jumper, I think, didn't he? It's a little token of
out in the car park. This is how we do it.
The footage did look like from the Monty Python Meaning of Life staff student rugby match where the staff, grown adults, took on 10-year-old kids or something.
Yes.
But he threw one beautiful short ball.
Yeah. A short ball. He put that kid through the gap beautifully.
You say behind the sheds, is Scott Morrison, did he take Hopper up to Indonesia just to sort a few things out?
Yes, now, that was another highlight of the week. Young Will coming out in great support of his old man. It was just terrific. He's the dad I love. Oh, I brought a tear to my eye. So rugby league.
On the Father's Day weekend.
Very good, Matty.
And then to emphasise the point, Will did go down the pathway of describing at home, mum pulls all the strings and dad's quite whipped and does the washing up and the vacuuming. And I thought, I don't know, Will, I don't know if you're helping the progressive issue agenda here right now.
Maybe that's why he goes out and belts people in his spare time.
It's probably a very broad church inside the Hopper family. There's about 11 kiddies, I think.
Yeah, it's a big church, yeah.
It's a very broad church.
Yeah.
Very broad church. And the other thing about it all I like
was the Liberal Party.
That given the 10-year ban, he now has, as Roy was pointing out the other day on another show on another station, he now has an incredible longevity in the game. Because he'll take the 10 years ban, do it in a stroll, and then come back for, you know, makes Gal look like a try-hard upstart.
Just for Guinness Book of Records.
Exactly.
This is Fire Up. We'll just whisper a bit more. We'll come back in just a moment.
Fire it up! Fire it up! Ready to go!
Fire it up!
Ready to go!
Fire it up!
Ready to go! Let's go change the world. Thank you, everybody. All right, who wants ice cream? Come get it.
Why tell the trees what a soul? Whispering grass, the trees don't have to know. No, no. Why tell them all your secrets? Who kissed there long ago? whispering grass, the trees don't need to know. Don't you tell it to the breeze, for she will tell the birds and bees, and everyone will know. Behold the blabbering trees, yes, you told them once before. It's no secret anymore. Why tell them all the old things? They're buried under the snow, whispering grass.
Fired up!
Fired up!
Ready to go!
Ready to go!
Fired up!
Fired up!
Ready to go!
Ready to go!
Well, we're trying our best to fire up the ink spots there.
It's really a yin yang episode, isn't it?
It surely is. It's this crisis of identity. Yeah.
And I think what we're doing here, if we're looking at the whispering approach to life married with fire up, it's a little bit like the NRL table this year. A very distinct top eight.
Yes.
And a very distinct not top eight. Mm.
Who can destroy the top eight at will, randomly? It's amazing. Listen, Chris, I know the city has been divided. I think it's slowly shifting against the nature of Dylan Napper as a person, to the core of his being, really. The man has been warned. The man is a criminal. The man should be marched.
You're not a fan of the
Straight
city.
Straight to Waverley Council.
You're not a fan of the Sydney Roosters.
Waverley Courts, I should say.
Look, I just think it's a timing issue, easy to correct. And if he has a look at a few tapes of Nate Miles going around, he'll find an excellent role model for the younger player. The thing that he's mistaking is he's got to get his hands up into the tackle before he lays on the nut.
Right, right.
The genius of Nate Miles was he could grab somebody in a tackle on the way down, just belt them with his forehead.
Head, yes.
And so you've got to understand that he's got part of the issue, he's got part of the technique, but what's missing is just that timing of bringing the hands up to the bonce.
So it's a case of, well, he's going for obviously aerodynamic advantage here, like a missile.
I've heard it described as a sonic missile.
A sonic missile. So the wings are down by the side, the head goes first, breaks through, sonic boom, crack.
Where I want to know is, where did he think it up,
this thing?
Because obviously somebody's whispered in his ear.
In Nate Miles' defence, his head is unusually large. I don't think he ever meant to use it as a weapon.
I think he took advantage of it. But I happen to be watching, Stephen. And I think and I think you have to take a 25% discount into account for the fact that it has been the Broncos on both occasions that he's occasioned this.
But exonerate him.
The kid looked in genuine distress. And I think that the lack of sympathy you're showing, as HJ points out, it's just a technical issue. Yeah. I mean, the messaging from the brain to the arms possibly not happening as quickly as it could.
Yes.
But once he addresses that issue, because he's a weapon.
Because it has been brought up that maybe he's doing damage to himself. Maybe he's just not thinking.
I doubt it.
Not apparently.
I doubt it. Can I point out what I thought?
You're going to have something to damage, right, HG?
Thanks. Now, he got into trouble the first time he did it.
Yes.
But that didn't slow the kid up. No, that's why I like him.
But again, isn't this just evidence of Todd Greenberg, and I just do want to take this opportunity to wish my very, very best to Todd and his family.
Really?
Father's Day.
Father's Day indeed, and have a wonderful, wonderful playoff series.
Yes.
But, Greenberg interfering again. I mean, the match review committee looked at the original NAPA tackle on Sims and said, play on.
And how does that...
So he learns a message from that.
How does that sit next to Gus Gould, who said it's just part of the game?
Exactly, but Greenberg intervenes and said they should have charged him. Next thing you know, 3 weeks he's rubbed out of the game. Where is the consistency?
Chris, the mothers, the kiddies. The game's in crisis when the kiddies just turn off and the mothers turn off. At least the kiddies don't turn off. The mothers turn off the game.
You know, I've got strong opinions on this, Stephen, is that mothers love their kids playing rugby league because it's the only place where they think kids can get belted in the modern era, because we're not allowed to do
it
anymore.
It's a sanctuary, isn't it?
That's right.
Well, remember, of course, that when Dylan, after his 12 months on the sideline, comes back, it's the only player that the kids will want to follow. Who's the kid who hits the players with his head? That dad. Which one is it, dad? What number is it, dad? You know,
why isn't he in the playoffs at the moment? I mean, here at the semis, it's Roosters versus Rabbits. Where is he?
Yeah, what's on Channel 7? Get out. Look, if I could just play credit, there's a lot of great players retiring this year, and Sam Thaiday was packing down a scrum and he turned around to the ref and said, his head's too big, we can't fit it all in the scrum, in relation to your man Nate Miles.
Penalty.
One of the great lines.
Yeah, call for a penalty.
Call for a penalty, because he couldn't get his head in.
Yeah.
Well, I think Nate Miles has brought enormous pleasure to rugby league followers around the world, and certainly that technique is lost at the moment. And you can see the problems of, you know, coaches obviously show them the videos, this is what you've got to do, all that sort of stuff. But the modern rugby league player just hasn't had the skill.
No. Well, it's backed up by Coach Trent Robinson, who's whispering all the time. He says, he's a physical player in our game. He's aggressive in the way that he goes about that play. The first thing is it's not good to see Andrew in that way. But I also support Naps and the way that he plays the game.
Wow, who wouldn't?
Who wouldn't? Naps. People enjoy the physicality that he plays with, and that's where the discussion will lie over the next couple of days. I think United Nations, he's got a career. Diplomacy.
Robbo.
Robbo.
Well, he's the direct recipient of the Coach Whisperer Bradley Charles Stubbs work at the moment. Yes, and look, I think it's all head games, Matty, out there at the Roosters, isn't it?
Yeah, look, you know, I got no problem with it. It was part of the game. Keep it part of the game. Look at that cheap shot down in the AFL country. You know, that poor young kid, broken jaw from the fist. This fella hasn't got a broken jaw.
And the AFL still put that kid Gaff in the All-Australian team because they recognise the overall contribution to the game.
That surprised me that Gaff made the All-Australian
team. Sorry, what's an All-Australian team? What does that mean?
It's a faux selection.
Yes.
If Australia was playing an international, like Ecuador or something like that, you know, obviously your money would be on Ecuador. Look, it's a faux idea to fill in a yawning gap because once they decided this weekend would be a weekend off, they had to find,
something.
Thanks.
Look, they're in trouble, obviously. When you've got the head of the AFL, what's his name? He's the Scottish lad.
Yeah, the killer, the murderer.
McLaughlin. Is he a killer?
Gil McLaughlin.
McLaughlin, right. Now, he's requested by his brother or cousin, some family member.
Second cousin.
Doesn't matter how far it goes.
Different spelling. His
family. Right? They've got a bit of trouble. They've got a French nanny, we're calling it Nannygate, right? Yes. Au pair girl, who's stuck behind bars somewhere, correct? Or ready to be deported.
In Adelaide, which arguably you're already halfway to being behind bars in Adelaide.
Yeah, like the 10-pound poms are going the other way now. We want to pull a few strings, Gil. You know, can you ring up Dutton? Because you've given some money to Dutton and the Libs. Can you pull a few strings? Strings pulled. AFL. That's how they do it. That's how they roll.
AFL and the Liberal Party. It's a match made in heaven.
Now, this Dutton character, now he's really nailed his colours to the mast, hasn't he? He's obviously an AFL supporter. That doesn't surprise anybody here, does it?
Not in the slightest. And what a relief that we got a true rugby league man in the top job when Dutton was threatening to take that top job. And I refer, of course, to ScoMo, who we talked about before.
Supporting Cronulla True Rugby League.
Well, I think more than that. I think he's seeing rugby league as a form of diplomacy now. You know, I was very disappointed he didn't have a Cronulla shirt on yesterday. He had some. I couldn't work out the club that he was representing. It was a yellow top with some sort of, you know, V.
This was the Jersey Day promotion.
It was the Jersey Day promotion.
So this is about organ donation.
I missed all of that. That was lost on me.
And this is obviously ScoMo's not quite learning how to sell the message yet, HG, because there's a whole context there that was not conveyed.
But talk about missing the message. Isn't the message that, look at me, I'm an average guy? I'm not the guy that stops boats and that votes against same-sex marriage, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm actually a cuddly big bloke who loves rugby league.
Yeah, I don't think this is particularly useful to ScoMo.
Isn't it?
I think he needed to, you know, do a bit of quiet practice in the car park before he turned out. I mean, watching people butcher passes and, you know...
And as good as John Howard's bowling attempt in Afghanistan.
And Bob Hawke's batting.
And there's something that concerns me about, you know, I'd hate to see our great game being exploited by a politician.
That's
happened in the past, is that every photo has tended to be of ScoMo in a scarf.
Yes.
And we know that AFL is replete with scarf culture. A whole lot of people who don't really follow sport want to try to appear Australian. So they wear a scarf, but they never wear a jersey. And hence, ScoMo, when asked to wear a jersey, can't translate and wear a Sharks jersey.
Got the wrong one.
He just takes the wrong one. So I just wonder if he's not surfing off our game and maybe not as committed as he's...
Exploiting, you say.
Though, as I was saying before, there's nothing that screams rugby league to me like the Pentecostal church.
Look,
talking in tongues, and often when I hear ScoMo talking, I think, is he talking in tongues or communicating in English?
Now, talking of churches, you'd be pleased to know, HG, that Aretha was in state recently.
Yes.
They had a 4-day in a museum, go and check her out. She's wearing a bright red outfit with red shoes.
Yeah, red shoes.
Day 4, she changed to turquoise. How good is that?
Is that like the away jersey?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that the away jersey or something?
Death of show business.
I can't wait for you to go, HG, and see what you get.
That's right. I've got it all worked out.
I can imagine it'd be a month-long festival.
A festival of the boot.
I've heard on good authority that ScoMo's going to take that $440 million back from the bloke who owns a boat on the Barrier Reef.
No.
And he's going to give it to the Cronulla Shire to keep us safe. They did it once before in the riots.
A lot of Cal Stefanoni gets his way. He won't let that happen.
Talking of that sort of stuff, they've got, it seems to me, some support for the sort of behaviour that gets Cronulla where they want to go, which is Fifita and Doogs on the couch. Two men on a couch talking funny stuff. And then you've got two men at a table who don't get a joke at all. Kent and Buzz.
I thought you were going to say Greenberg and Beattie.
No, Beattie gets a joke.
He does.
But Kenny doesn't crack a smile. Buzz, well, I mean, what can you say? Is he human? He's like Ricky Stewart. Is something wrong with the man?
Wow, that's a big comparison. Damning Ricky with faint praise there, cliche.
Buzz says he took no offence at the comments by Fifita and Doogs on a podcast called Halfcast. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. No.
It's blown up, though, hasn't it?
Well, it has, in the sense that there was some profane language on
was
the podcast.
There?
Yes. Yes. It's, you know, there were a lot of...
Whispered, I hope.
Michael Lucking.
A lot of Michael Lucking, a lot of Carmichael Hunts. But I think the most withering comment was describing Buzz as old, weathered and bald.
Yes.
Though, to Buzz's credit, he's come back and said that's fair description.
Pretty accurate.
Yeah. And he knows which side his bread is buttered. He says, I'm a Sharks fan through and through. I'll be out there cheering if they win a premiership for us.
Is he a Sharks man?
Oh, yeah. To the bone. Yeah. But he answers apparently to the newspaper and his keyboard above all else. Yeah. And that's why he has to break the story.
Well, I think this is true. And he really is Woodward and Bernstein wrapped up in the one individual. He's so committed. He'll break any story, including Cronulla salary cap.
Have we got a gate attached to this story?
Well, what would you call this one?
This one, yeah.
Finding some gate now?
See you next Tuesday, gate.
So these two characters, of course, were blamed for the downfall of the Blues last year, Doogs and Ferg. They have been now... Kenny's come out with pretty strong words saying the NRL should be the ones that should take action and take them off the field for a while.
What?
He's called for the sacking of Messrs. Greenberg and Beattie.
Oh, sacking?
Yeah, Mr. 19%.
Right, from the top.
Yes.
Because they can't pull these guys in.
Cronulla has too much power.
Right. Cronulla got other problems, though, haven't they, at the moment?
Well...
salary cap.
Yeah, this is the salary cap. This is historical salary cap, right, going back several years. Mm. As I understand it, talking to my colleagues, we're looking at... 15 and 17, neatly avoiding 16, which was, guess what, the year they won
the premiership
when we turned the lights off on the porch.
Turn those lights back on, fellas.
So you reckon they're trembling?
Well, you know, there's a lot of play here. It's relating to anywhere between 50,000 and 250,000 in 2015. Chris Hyington, who is, of course, not involved other than just receiving the payment. He's unaware of this.
Where it came from.
And it may have been a payment that never even occurred, but it's actually Cronulla, because of the brave club they are, have self-reported. An incoming CEO, Barry Russell, had this to say.
Mm. I don't want to speculate on any individual at all. As I said, all I can say is there's an ongoing investigation with past and present employees, and I'm going to let that take due course. I'm going to fully cooperate and win some footy games.
All right, thank you very much.
Win some footy games.
Well, what was great was the applause at the end there.
Yeah.
Is that media applauding him?
Well,
is that Buzz and
Kenny and Andrew Webster and Michael Carrianis and David Riccio and all of them hearing some bravery, because let's face it, the previous CEO under question, and of course we're referring to Damon Keogh.
Mm.
And Keogh said when this broke, he was
Woolloomooloo, the bust.
That's the man.
That's right, yeah.
And he said when this story broke, he was in the theatre watching Crazy Rich Asians, right?
Yeah.
And his phone went crazy. Yeah. The first thing I want to say is, what are you doing with your phone on? I can't stand people who leave their phones on in movies.
All good cinemas have a message at the beginning.
Yeah, and it sort of lights up and distracts you from the action.
No, he was just railing up a couple on his phone. That's what he was doing. That's why it was out.
Yeah, it's going down the Woolloomooloo again.
But he says he's poured $1.5 million of his own money into various habits, including the Cronulla Sharks.
Now, I want to ask you, Bunch, I mean, can a rugby league team survive without a computer? I mean, probably Manly have to, but they take in the server at Cronulla for forensic search.
Yes, forensic accounting.
Can they get through the finals without a computer?
Well, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I think what you've got to understand is that the computing skills in a rugby league club, I've always only
not
seen
that
as...
Not great.
As icing on a cake.
Right.
You know, look, let's call it a vanilla sponge with passion fruit icing on its top.
It's my favourite.
That's the thinnest smear of icing on top of the passion fruit sponge is the computing skills in a rugby league club. Look, I think they can get away without it. Let's face it, the stats people don't need it. They know exactly what's going to happen from start to finish.
Yeah.
They could send a couple of emails to fans, say, or keep ScoMo up with the scores.
Yes. So you think mobile technology will get them through?
Easy.
Look, I see Gal's brain working not unlike the Terminators. I think he can compute things at a level that no other human
being
can.
Even when he's losing limbs, skin, eyes, whatever, he can still do it.
He's defying the ageing process. It is a worry, though. I mean, there's revelations today that the amusement park development down on the toxic swamp next to the football field not selling as well as it could have.
Say that again?
Yeah, they haven't been snapping up the apartments at the rate
they're
home.
The housing is in a slump at the moment, Chris. Come on.
And what always fascinates me about these forensic units that come in and see servers and documents and so forth is, if I'm rorting the salary cap, why would I be putting that in emails to people? That would be the first thing I probably wouldn't do. But I know when Parramatta were investigated, the minutes that were seized when they came to talk about the illegal payments, one of the people in the board meeting would say, we should probably turn the recorder off now because of what we're about to talk about. And that was dutifully recorded in the minutes subsequently seized by the forensic team.
Remember, of course, in the old days, though, I think the Roosters were done for a salary cap. And the only reason they pinged them was that because whoever was in charge, let's say Todd Greenberg was in charge of the salary cap investigations at that time, spotted one of the players driving a car which seemed to be out of their pay scale.
Yes, yeah.
That was just weird. I mean, that's how technical. Nicola Scott.
Yes. Instinct. I see the car. I know it's worth that much.
There is a shadowy figure in the NRL Integrity Unit that no one can name or identify, but they are known as the Salary Cap Whisperer.
Is that
and
right?
They read the tea leaves around player behaviour and where they're spotted.
And you're forgetting that, of course, Politis used to be a car dealer in his original incarnation.
Right.
Yeah, so, you know. Anyway, it says here, importantly, it says... This is Cronulla. In 2018 season, we are cap compliant. And I guess they're assuming that the 2016 was protected as well.
But wouldn't that just, for you as a Saints fan, Stephen, restore the natural order to see the Sharks go back to zero premierships?
Exactly. They even jumped a year and celebrated 50 years. It was only 49. Goodness. Hey, this is Fire. We're going to come back. We're going to be talking to a man who's put together Harold Holt and Cronulla Sharks in a production for the Fringe Festival, Ethan Andrews, in just a second.
And everywhere we go, we had 25,000 people in New York City. I asked them, are you fired up? And they were all fired up. And I asked them, are you ready to go? And they're all ready to go.
I must keep walking cheetah with a hat full of napalm. Runaway son of the nuclear A-bomb. I am the world's forgotten boy, the one who searches and destroys. Somebody gotta help me, please. Somebody gotta save my soul. Baby, detonate for me.
Well, no more whispering anymore after that. Iggy Pop, Search and Destroy. There's many places at the moment that are just absolutely imploding at the moment. We'll talk about Manly in a minute. We're talking about Cronulla again right now. On the line, we have Ethan Andrews, who has got a production happening at the Fringe Festival called Turn the Porch Lights Off. Ethan, are you there?
I am. Hello.
Lovely to hear from you. Now, the Fringe Festival, of course, it's been running for many, many years now and takes over all sorts of fringe dwelling as well as some of the major venues around Sydney to give us a taste of, I guess, the underbelly of arts and culture. How did your involvement come into the Fringe Festival with this thing about rugby league? Because I wouldn't have thought that would be a natural fit.
No. So my mate Mitch Garling and I, we're both stand-up comedians, and we love the Cronulla Sharks.
Let's cancel it now then.
You need to find something to laugh about.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'd always dreamed of doing a show, and we thought, Oh, the Fringe Festival would be a perfect chance for it. Hopefully that is still true when we do the show.
Right,
it's been,
it's been
pretty fun putting it together.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Do you think that you... do you think Cronulla was salary cap compliant in winning that premiership?
Oh, well, I mean, I want to be an optimist and say yes.
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 Yes. Hoping for the best.
I know... I am. I know 2016 is the year in question, mm-hmm. and I think there's a question mark over 2015 mm-hmm. too. I'm just scratching my head as to how a Jeff Robson-led spine could possibly be over the salary cap.
Nice. So, okay, turn the porch lights off. The reference, of course, is Harold Holt, who died in 1967, our Prime Minister. If only we could dream of such instance these days, you know. It was such a colourful way to go, you know. And never before seen again. Occasionally we say he was, Sharkies or what's the 2130, is that your postcode? That Harold Holt would appear like some dismembered corpse sitting at the corner of the bar, drinking away the night, you know. But he disappeared in 67, the same year Cronulla Sharks came in, and you found a connection here.
Yeah, it's a bit spooky, really, when you dive into it, because the Harold Holt quote from Jack Gibson, of course, very famous. Every rugby league fan knows that for a time, waiting for Cronulla to win a premiership was like leaving the port fight on for Harold Holt. And when Mitch and I started researching the show, we found that there were quite a few coincidences, not just the year that the Sharks were formed and the year that Harold Holt disappeared, but they ran quite deep. There's a lot of instability in the Australian government. I know you've been talking about that this morning. Mm. A lot of crisis in the NRL as well, and that's linked. That's inherently linked
to rugby league.
Absolutely, yep. Absolutely. And we're trying to really peel the layers back on it and educate the public in this show.
Well, let's educate them. When you go to the Tom Ugly's Bridge, you can barely see at night because everybody's got there that year. Chrissy bills were skyrocketing.
Of course. I mean, that's one of the benefits of having won a grand final, although I don't know how the porch light situation changes.
Porch lights go off, crime rates go up, though.
Well, the Samoan Prime Minister would be happy because that's your little contribution down there to climate change issue, obviously.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the reverse of it. I think some selfish Cronulla Shark supporters, myself included, would be happy to sacrifice the planet for a premiership, though.
Yes. So the connection between the Cronulla Sharks coming into the game in 67, Harold Holt disappearing, is there somebody that you're pointing the finger at in this play, or do we have to go and see it to find out who is the nefarious character?
Well, I can help you. I can help you. I join the dots. Okay,
please.
So 1967, Harold Holt disappeared. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the conspiracy theories around the time was that he was abducted in a Chinese submarine.
Submarine, that's right.
Yes, that was one of the most popular ones. That was not found to be true, but the Chinese government were involved, I can confirm. And I don't know if this is a fire-up exclusive, but probably
I think it is.
The Chinese government were involved, and they planted a spy in Australian society. That spy grew up to be a rugby league player, a current club captain.
Okay, right.
From within the NRL, they're using their status to overthrow authority eventually.
But there must have been somebody connected at an adult level, not the child, that allowed for the absolute gutting of the Dragons in 67 after they won 11 premierships to put this team into play. Who was that nefarious character that changed the tackle count rule that split our area into two?
Well, we can't blame the Chinese government for everything.
Right.
We can't blame them for everything. Although it is appealing to be able to point the finger, I have to say, at the show is when we can reveal who the one individual is, and we will name names.
And Ethan, you've got key people appearing at the show: Shane Flanagan, Cameron Smith, Jonathan Thurston, but most importantly, Andrew E.T. Enningshausen will be there live, from what I understand.
He will. Of course, Escape with E.T. is tied into this as well. Harold Holt disappeared at sea. The Sharks, the most famous shark, the most famous Sharks captain.
Fisherman, too.
Fisherman as well, yeah. He's doing a bit of fishing, joining us live from the South China Sea.
Fantastic.
Throughout the show.
He's courting trouble, isn't he?
Well, you know, He gets up to some interesting stuff over
there. Well, when you've got E.T.'s good looks, you can get away with murder, can't you? South China Sea, no, twinkle,
well,
wink.
At least break a few of the commandments in the Bible, as I understand it. Where's all this happening, Ethan? Where can we see this?
We're doing our shows on the September 19th, 21st and 23rd at the Factory Theatre.
Marrickville, beautiful.
In Marrickville, yeah.
Turn the Porch Lights Off. That's the connection. It's a rugby league. Well, it's not a musical. It's a play. It's a serious tome, isn't it?
It is. Mm. It's a drama, a classic
spy thriller,
Greek tragedy. Yeah.
Right. Ethan Andrews, thank you very much for that. Thank you very much for joining us here on Fire Up.
A pleasure, team. Thanks for having
me. And we'll plug it, put it on the link on the website, and away we go.
Thank you, guys.
See you later. Bye. Now, that brings me to another joint that's in disrepair, Manly Warringah. Manly Warringah, HG, can you give us a little list of some of the things that Trent Barrett, Zoolander, has been complaining about that he doesn't have at his fingertips?
Well, this is the most disturbing document? Report and document that I've seen in some time. For instance, this is Trent Barrett turns up at the Manly Warringah training facility. He had to hire chairs for the locker room. Imagine that. Players up until Trent Barrett were there were sitting on the floor, often in their own excrement because there were no toilets. There was no floor in a lot of cases.
Right.
People had to sit on bits of wood and pretend it was floor. He had to bring a desk from home to use his in office, but then even more disturbingly, he had to bring his own backyard furniture for the team's common room. The team's common room.
Wow.
I mean, firstly, a common room for a team, that's an oxymoron. Obviously, a facility which is four walls of concrete and a hole in the corner that you can spray out, you know, after a night or a Mad Monday celebration and just have it pristine for the next, for the summer months.
I'm assuming there's no air conditioning.
No, well, steady. Sorry, this is Manly we're talking about. And remember, of course, Manly, well known as the human face of bowel cancer.
That's right.
In society. He, at one stage, his missus and the four kids had to come in and clean the team's gym.
Oh, the kiddies.
The kids were involved.
Oh, no, with toothbrushes?
Well, the toothbrushes. And they had to trim the playing arena with their nail clippers to cut it down because they couldn't afford the petrol for the mowers. Yeah.
And then four children then lost to the game as a result.
Because
they'll just associate rugby league with work.
With punishment.
Yeah, and we think China's only involved with Cronulla.
Look, it's a tale of woe, and it is hard to imagine that Todd Greenberg and, more importantly, Peter Booty, allowed this to continue without going and organising things, simple things like a working bee, put the pickets back on the fence, you know. I mean, you've got no idea of how the community responds to rugby league calls for help, and it would only have to come from the top. Sure, I mean, Peter Beattie doesn't know he was talking about Cronulla, but Peter Beattie hadn't got a clue who the Sharks are or that they're in the competition. That's a separate issue.
Yes.
We don't mind that. But he will call for a working bee along the lines of, I'm a Queenslander, I'm here to help. Mm. Now, this, so far, he's just
and this
right
works
out of
straight
joint.
Down the political lines we've been talking about with rugby league and politics. When you've got AFL, you know, supporting being supported by the Libs, etc., and vice versa. Tony Abbott, what's he done? Nothing.
Well, he did promise to rebuild completely their footy ground.
And what happened?
Nothing.
They renamed it Lottoland. That was his contribution.
Have they got a centre?
No, they haven't. The nearest centre of excellence, as I can probably get to, you know, is a day's route march towards Penrith.
Right.
Beyond, you keep going past Badgerys Creek, the airport, and keep going.
Because I wonder if Magistrate Beattie is going down the wrong path here, because, you know, he's been a friend of this show, and I respect him enormously and love his work on Twitter because it's so informative. You know, it's very straight down the line. But he says the NRL needs to acquire assets, a la the AFL.
Yes.
And the first asset he identified was centres of excellence.
Right.
But I always feel that a centre of excellence is like a new car. You drive it off the lot and it immediately depreciates in value. So I actually wonder whether Trent Barrett is getting far too much sympathy here, because it was all good enough for Desi.
Let's put it into perspective. Desi did win a couple of grand finals using these facilities. But I think he furnished the common room differently. Like, banana lounges aren't going to work. No, I don't care how retro they are. Well, what did Desi have? He would have nailed a couple of urinals to the wall and nothing but granite benches to sit on.
Well, exactly. And I mean, I think if Trent's sort of complaining about having to furnish the common room, if you haven't got the toilet sorted out, it's reaching to have a common room, isn't it? It's trying to spread too thinly the resources.
It is. And speaking of, you know, Peter Booty, as we must. Remember, he promised to take the game into Asia.
Oh, yes.
You would have spent a couple of weeks talking about
this. We certainly did.
Well, yeah. I think they're a little dirty on the game now, aren't they, ever since Harold Holt's.
Well, see, what I like is the idea that
that seed, that green shoot was put down by Peter Beattie at the start of the season. At the end of the season, we have our Prime Minister in Indonesia in the footy gear talking to Joko Widodo about establishing a centre of excellence in Jakarta.
Yes. A rugby league centre of excellence.
Of course, a rugby league centre.
Because we all agree that what Peter Beattie had to say was so spot on. He said the league needs to attract multicultural communities of all shades. And he emphasised particularly Australians with an Asian background because he says, let's face it, they're great at soccer, they'd even be better at rugby league.
Yes.
And now his vision has been translated. And this is so heartwarming to see that I think Beattie came from Labor stock and ScoMo from Liberal stock.
Longest serving Premier in history.
ScoMo acting out the Beattie vision shows that this is bipartisan.
And look, we've lost Usain Bolt to another code.
Well, we'll find out tonight. He's playing tonight.
We will. Now, look, a lot of joints are going down. What is the level down below centre of excellence? Once you lose that lustre, what's the next level down, would you say? A centre of, obviously, mediocrity.
I got stuck on Cumberland Oval.
Yes.
For those who know their Parramatta history.
Narrabeen Demountables. And again, this concern about Demountables, there are thousands and thousands of children being successfully educated right now.
Becoming doctors.
The future leaders. Exactly. Let's face it.
What's wrong with Demountables?
If it's good enough for our youth, it's good enough for the Manly Warringah Seagulls.
They're flexible. Adaptable.
The baby Jesus was born in an ancient Demountable. They used to call it a Danger, but it's native into a modern day Demountable.
The West Tigers are knocking down Comfort Oval Stadium in order to install some Demountables as their training facility. Take the Hasler blueprint and ridding it large.
Exactly. Now, talking about homes of excellence, there's one that's being ripped down at the end of the rugby league season.
Yes.
Allianz Stadium.
Yes.
A week later, this man will be performing. You must have some great memories. Tina Turner.
Well, you never remember this 42nd Street. Who can forget that?
Pennies from heaven. Someone forgot to bring the CD.
People assumed the position, and then Rixey had left the cassette. I use that word advisedly in the club box.
The Optus.
Oh, and the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
Yes.
You're talking about retirements. This is one of the great times.
How many kiddies did we lose in the Optus inflatable?
Do you remember that slightly odd grand final entertainment when the NRL went all political when John Williamson sang "Rip Rip Woodchip"?
Oh my God! I've erased that from the memory.
I think that was '89, which is a very very painful
year for
memory for me. But
was that when the Pearl was taken out?
No, that was 88. Hello, Terry Lamb.
Thank you, Terry.
Yeah.
Menacing Terry. Well, this is a man, the last man performing on the field, not a rugby league player, could be a rugby league player.
Ooh.
Could be a hooker, maybe. Oh, let's play tribute, shall we?
Boys, ready? Heads on, let's go.
The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? You think you've seen the sun, but you ain't seen it shine. Wait till the warm-up's underway. Oh, wait till our lips have met. Wait till you see that sunshine day. You ain't seen nothing yet. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? The best is yet to come, come the day you're mine.
But here's the thing. After a couple minutes, I was feeling kind of fired up.
That's because he had a
league.
Is
you know, look, you can just see Dylan Napper coming in, leaving the hands down and aiming a skull at somebody else's bonce. Yeah. That's beautifully caught in that. I think it's an excellent choice to close down, you know, the football stadium, which is a controversial topic. I don't want to get into it, but if you bring your hammers along, you get in free and take home a chunk of history.
Is this on the
Bublé concert? On the
Bublé
concert.
Fantastic.
The prices are priced for families, I might add. I think the top price is over $1,000. But in that one, you get a pie and chips and access to a toilet, which is, of course, the big problem.
That's right. And particularly for the ladies.
Yeah, that's right.
And a photo with Dylan and Bublé. And if you go on the dark web, you'll find instructions about how you can effectively remove those blue plastic seats with as little effort as possible.
Because I imagine it would be quite challenging.
Well, I know a lot. a number of churches are keen to get pews of those seats as a job lot, and I'm not sure why the rugby league isn't selling them off, or the state government isn't selling them off and auctioning them off. I mean, of course,
the one espresso machine that serves, what is it, 24, 40,000 or whatever, will be run out the door very quick, smart, because it's on wheels, like a demountable.
There has been a weird modern phenomenon in rugby league. If you go to an Origin match now at half time, there's no queues for beers, but the coffee cart queues are sort of stretches.
It's enormous, aren't
it? It's incredible, isn't it? I hope they maintain, very keen to pursue a vision where that the rugby league immortals are entombed in a pyramid at the end of the Tibby Cotter Bridge.
And, you've thought that through.
Big Mal, you're going like Lenin's tomb, you know, under a pyramid like the Louvre.
Well, hang on, how many immortals have we got?
We're up to 13.
So one's got to be Christ.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And I mean, the obvious choice is Joey Johns. But we like the concept of in centuries hence, if we're still around, and the Samoan Prime Minister is concerned about this, is that the archaeologists would dig and uncover the sarcophagus of Mal with the hands folded. But let's hope some of the materials from Eleorns
get put into this.
I mean, that would be an enormous miss if the punters took everything.
Well, maybe a bucket seat, a blue one at the end of each sarcophagus.
That's right.
So you can sit in...
In contemplation.
Contemplation, yeah.
Think Frank Burge. What a great career.
What a great career, yeah.
Surpassed by Gavin Cooper.
Yes, that's right. These players no one's ever heard of. Until the other night.
Dally.
Can I ask, are you looking for sponsorship for this thing?
We're very open for it. Yeah. You can help.
Right. Nick Politis Motors or something like that.
Wouldn't he be good?
Yes, true.
Now, would this be in the Moore Park or the actual, like, on the east or west side of
Turf
the
Turf War between south and east right now?
Straddling
the line. And would things necessary to be able to play rugby league in the afterlife be entombed with them?
Yes.
You know, things like a slab of beer, crackers, boots, etc.
That'd be for those attendees to leave, wouldn't it?
Oh, I hadn't thought of it like that. No, I thought this would be officialdom and
could
no.
Could it be built over the, the road itself, so that you know you've got on the left and the right in the middle, you've got the sarcophagi. Is that the right word?
That'll do.
And the cars can go left and right
over Anzac Parade
through the pyramid.
Well, I don't see why not.
So you could nod as you go through.
I think if you go to the MGM Grand, which again sort of has a lot of this artifice, and you look up and you see the lines above you in the cafes and whatever, I mean, if you could actually see the immortals' tombs as you drive through. Mm. Well, it could be a bit of a hazard, isn't it? It's a bit like they don't want you looking at the people doing the bridge walk around the Harbour Bridge, and I always do, because I'm just drawn to see those individuals.
Don't look at your phones, but look at Mal, interned.
One of the concerns I've got about this, HG, is that it's Frank Pulitura who's doing most of the heavy lifting and looking at potential immortal candidates within NRL, and he's making decisions that if you are made an immortal, you are condemned to live for the rest of a time in a community made up of largely St George players.
Well, I hadn't thought about that. No, that's a very telling point.
And HG,
yes,
if Frank is the man choosing the mortal, what does that make him? What sort of stature has he got?
Well, he's God.
He's God. He's incredible.
Yeah, look,
he knows.
I think he lives in a penthouse on top of the pyramid.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
And then, you know, sort of every so often comes down from the pyramid, more or less coming down the mountain with the tablets of the new immortals, old immortals on one side and the new immortals on the other side.
Now, we've all loved, of course, the entertainment. We talk about Allianz and what happens at the end of the year, the big game itself. And we all discuss who's going to be the entertaining this year.
You
know, will it be Tom Jones? Will it be whatever?
Have we gotten any news?
Well, I can't tell you. Sworn to secrecy.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You know.
Well, Buble might shot.
Double header. Yeah.
One there.
Grand final into closing.
Well, that would be nice. But I would put it to you, HG and Chris, that the most exciting thing that happens in the world of entertainment is a run. Whether it's the mascot race, the kiddies race, or two great players, a race is the thing that gets everybody most excited.
Yeah.
Now, this year, of course, we have our annual nudie run for all those people that don't score a try at the end of the year.
Right.
Now, the idea is, of course, you could do a nudie run at the grand final. And, of course, most of them are lumbering forwards. They're the ones that generally don't score a try. Mm-hmm. Would that be a working thing, do you think?
I think it's a really interesting idea because I think in this era we are all more comfortable with our bodies in the human form.
That's true.
And they tend to sort of reduce the halftime entertainment to a bunch of under-20s players in a relay that no one knows or cares about.
Yes.
If you were able to combine the retirement ceremony with the people who are retiring, who are also eligible for the nudie run, so the ones that have scored a try walk out in the suits with the kids and whatever, and then you get a run of the half dozen
Sam
retiring.
Sam Tidey, has he scored a try this year? I don't think he has.
Maybe not.
Yeah,
you know,
but he'd love to do it.
Yeah, or it could be voluntary.
Could be voluntary.
You can say, I'll assume the suit in order to participate in the retirees nudie run.
Right, right.
Well, it's a fascinating idea. I'm just wondering if Nine could get Gus to call it with Rabs and you know, Peter Sterling with expert comments and Freddie on the sideline. Yeah. And I'd love to get Freddie's thoughts mid-run.
How would Rabs get his lingo wrapped around the description of the nude men?
Well, I think he'd be very, very mindful of that he was talking to an audience who may not be fully up behind the nudie run as a concept.
Sloop. Yeah, terminology. Well, yes.
I hadn't thought of that. No, I think his gaze would be above the tackle.
Above the tackle.
Unlike in rugby league when it focuses on the tackle.
And it would kill dead any discussion of bringing the grand final back to a day thing because I think it needs to be in that later night slot in order for it to be age appropriate.
What is weird, though, you make a very good point about the problems of retiring players coming out, waddling out in suits.
Waddling.
Which we've never seen them before in our lives, so we haven't got a clue who they are.
Correct.
And who knows, nudity might be a more appropriate form of dress.
The idea of them actually coming out in their playing strip.
Exactly.
Well, that'd be too obvious, wouldn't it?
There's been a text that suggests that perhaps Dark Mofo, of course, the very...
Dark Mofo, yes.
They do a nude swim in the morning. Perhaps rugby league have been well ahead of the game when it comes to nude runs, and perhaps next year will be the NRL nudie run down at Dark Mofo.
Finishing in a photo shoot.
And can I point out to people in those areas where it's applicable that Mad Monday is on this Monday warning. Spoiler alert.
Now, do you think where do we stand with Matt Lodge on this thing? Will he go nuts, do you think? Oh no, they're in, of course.
Oh no, he's got a couple of more sleeps.
Causing havoc. Because you've often talked about the exportability of rugby league players around the world and their antics showing everybody else what a great code it is, a great country we are.
Well, remember, Jarryd Hayne went to America with one idea, and that was to explain to the NFL players about Mad Monday.
Right.
And the reception he got at San Francisco was just incredible. He played that magnificent 37 seconds, which is seared into all NFL fans forever. But the more important thing was laying down the foundation for their Mad Monday. They have a relatively short season. Yeah. The NFL players compared with us or rugby league and AFL. But then the great thing is the Mad Monday goes on for years.
So bullet point, obviously the tame end is dress up in stupid clothes, get shit-faced.
Cause
havoc to property.
Yeah, keep going.
Yeah, probably not person these days.
Fill in that yawning gap in the newspapers between, obviously, Monday, after the weekend Monday, the grand final the wraparound edition, with a picture of the butcher putting out chops in club colours, all that sort of stuff.
You make a good point about the Hayne 37 seconds. I mean, when you bought the commemorative DVD of my career in the NFL, there wasn't much value in it, was there?
She was pretty brief.
Now, I've got a list of names here, those players that haven't scored a try, because that's the eligibility, not just because putting your hand up. You haven't not scored a try. Jack Bird, what a guy for Brisbane. Jesse Bromwich, wow, he's a big man. I would have thought he'd scored. Bryce Cartwright, nice surprises there. Matt Gillette, Keegan Hipgrave, who's he?
Oh, come on, you're not familiar with Keegan's work? The guy who's been sin-binned twice in one game this season.
Right. Ah, that's a record.
For the Gold Coast Titans, it's magnificent.
Now, here's one to scare the ladies, the Clemenator, David Clemmer hasn't scored a try. Josh Maguire, a lot of Brisbane players. Simon Mannering. Is anybody going to miss Simon Mannering?
Can I say one thing about Simon Mannering? Yeah. He's retiring after this tilt, and the Warriors' last home game today, the Warriors' ownership has come up with this tremendous idea, and that is that people pay what they want in order to get into the game, and of course the game is now a sellout. And you can imagine if we gave that power to rugby league fans consistently, if you said to St George Illawarra fans right now, how much would you pay to see them play?
Yes.
And you sell it out and probably derive about $500 revenue on that crowd.
Yeah, I know there's been talk about a refund on our membership at the Dragons.
That's how
much the disappointment, can I use that word? Not disgust.
I don't think disappointment speaks half of it, does it?
No, and hey, I've had a real... When we talk about crisis of identity, and I've had a good soul search this week because after Parramatta, we lost 44-4 or something. I thought that was the darkest day.
40 points to 4, Steve, I want to get that correct.
Okay,
and it was 38-0 to Canterbury, in case you missed that.
Yeah. I switched off. Now, the other day, I realised, why is it that after family and close friends, extended family, etc., why is it that your sporting team is the most important thing to you when it comes to loss? You know, you can lose a dog, yes, grieve a little bit. Well, when your team loses, it really digs in deep.
Can I point out, not only am I a Parramatta supporter, but I'm also a Carlton Football Club supporter.
Oh, wow.
We've had two magnificent years recently. And, you know, I mean, admittedly, when you look at, say, comparison between rugby league and the AFL, the most pundits thought that Carlton had finished 19th in a competition that only had 18 teams. And they didn't disappoint. Yes. Similarly with the Eels. So I don't know really what went wrong with the Eels. They were such a disappointment in about the first 8 weeks that I stopped worrying about it. I've got to be honest.
So you've had a stress-free year.
Stress-free year, yes, that's right.
See, this is the problem with Dragons fans, where they lead us to the top and hold us there and then drop off the cliff.
I know, it's a different thing.
It's a good point, though, that you make, because I would regard the success or otherwise of my football team as a bigger priority than family. And as you know, I'm a huge fan of The Bachelor. I've always enjoyed
it. Oh, yes, The Bachelor.
And every Bachelor/Bachelorette and contestant says, to me, family is everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm going... look, we got Father's Day coming up this week. It'll be great to catch up with my family, but why aren't the Tigers in the eight?
Yes, exactly. I
mean, that's a far bigger issue for me.
Tell me, is this bloke, what's his name, the Honey Badger? Is he not even
Nick
creepy?
Cummins?
Is he everywhere, the ubiquitous badger?
It's called commercialism, Stephen. I know you don't understand that process and you eschew it. But
he's a bit creepy, though, isn't he?
He's a good kid.
And those corkscrew hairs.
He's got slightly wild eyes. They're a bit dark, cold dark.
I saw him playing foot golf the other night. It was just electrifying.
Foot golf?
How good was that? At Northbridge. Typical North Shore stuff.
So, HG, if I say to you when you go, whatever happened to Parramatta, whatever happened to Carlton, do you have any answers? Do you know where the problems lie? Because we don't, as St George fans. We have no idea.
Well, the great thing is when you're in team building phase, this can take, centuries.
Nice.
I mean, it's a very slow process.
Yes.
And I've got to say is that the Parramatta team did a great thing whereby they loved team building so much, they decided to have another year of it when they didn't need
it. Extended the
rebuilding.
They invested so much in it. You've got to get a return.
That's right.
The big problem is when your coach comes out and says, I finally got the team I want.
That's a mistake. Thank you, Mary.
I say it's, the aliens came down. There's a film celebrating such a thing, Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
And that's what happened after Origin to
somewhere,
St. George.
I think around about that point, boop, they just swapped them over.
Yeah, because let's face it, that's not Ben Hunt.
No, it's not his go, is it? Dropping a ball. So, oh, don't, Chris. Where did your team come with that?
We came ninth. Which is now 7 years of futility since the 2011 playoffs. Mm. And we just want to say, Ivan, if this is the end of the bus journey, it's been, it's been disappointing to
a bumpy ride. Yeah. Now,
can I point out, you learn a lot more from your losses than you do from your wins.
Yeah, suffering and pain are the big teacher.
You've just quite a PhD this year on that basis.
Look, I can see that the Coach Whisperer's had a lot of good impact on us. We've done well today, I think. I'm calm, reasonably.
I feel delighted that we had HG and Maddie to share the love. It was great to do the interview with Ethan. Can I do one shout out, Stephen, before we go?
And I'm going to do a commercial plug as well.
You are?
Yeah.
Well, can I do my shout out first?
Yes.
So I was accosted in the premises of another venue by a kid called Sam, and he says, my father Paul listens to your show, and I said I'd love to give him a shout out. So hello to Paul Mangione, and we just got a little bit of just a taste of a tune in tribute to Paul and Sam.
He's good on the guitar.
He's not bad. Where's the trumpet? That's the main gig for Chuck, I think.
Now, a couple of things. If you want a haircut, the best place for community for chat and good haircuts is the Barbaria on Crown Street. Maddie's there. He'll look after
you. He's on the nudie run right now.
Just walk in and whisper fire up. You know, and he might look after you. Now, if you really want to dig deeper, now we've talked about the bin chicken. When police want to go and do a body search, the bin chicken is the go-to animal, not the dog. Better at cavity search. And I say to you, if you really want to get a probe, HG and Roy, Sundays now,
beautiful.
What time?
10 to 12 on Triple M.
Triple M. It is
every week.
The show to go to each week if you want a good sport coverage with the deepest, what, unblocking the stoolage, I think is the term.
Yes,
is.
That's right. Mm. That's right. And remember, of course, there's a podcast available at all your usual sites.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, HG, very much for coming in. Well, it's an annual tradition.
Yeah,
it's like Christmas.
It's Father's Day tradition.
Father's Day tradition.
And, happy Father's Day to all the dads. Listen, if you want to cook a sponge on Sunday, Dad, it's your right.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Stephen.
So tune in again next week when we invite a veritable breadline of nobodies and wannabes to flesh out another rip-snorting roundup of rugby league shenanigans, slander and smut. Right here at the home of radio's most fatuous footy confab.
Fire!